We've complicated the easiest human skill, sleeping. Today I want to talk about sleep, the importance of it, and how it's taken me 3 decades to learn how to do it. So I have had to craft an entire strategy to support getting good sleep at night. You know, before we dive into sleep and talking about it and its benefits, I think it's just really important to state that this isn't going to be the same for everyone. They're in a different phase of life. They're in a different race. Some people are moms. Some people are teachers. Some people are emergency room surgeons. They're going to have different sleep requirements because of the type of life they're living, but also their bodies and them as themselves are going to have different sleep requirements. You know, in some sleep studies that I've done and just getting to learn myself, I've learned I am someone who can operate off of fewer hours of sleep. I know my husband needs a lot more hours than me, but I can operate off fewer hours of sleep, but it's really important that those few hours that I do get, that they're optimized and that they're consistent. You know, I'm a mom, so of course, moms are just naturally sleep deprived. But about 2 years ago, just found myself really sleep deprived to the point where, you know, I said, mentioned I could, you know, get by with less hours of sleep. But I really was struggling to just get even like 3 consecutive hours of sleep. Just motherhood, entrepreneurship, and come to learn some, you know, significant imbalances in my body. I just could not tap out of kind of this nervous energy that I had all day and tap into this like rest and recovery stage. So like I do, I went into a, you know, deep rabbit hole. I think all moms do this, and started really learning about sleep and started testing and trying a lot. What works for me, what doesn't work for me, and then pick and choose from all of the advice out there and kind of came up with a recipe or like a vitamin regimen for my sleep. And I'm going to share what some of those things are in a little bit, but I want to talk about first why sleep is so important. It's something that's being talked about a lot. I think as, you know, in general, we're all coming more aware of how important sleep is for anything like, you know, recovery, hormone balance, your metabolism, and what the whole world, you know, needs is just that downtime from the stressful environment that we live in. I blame our habits and our environment for why we've gotten so far off track with sleep. So when we're talking about sleep, we have to talk about our circadian rhythm. And what the circadian rhythm is it's the 24-hour cycle that we are operating on with the sun coming up and the sun coming down. And our bodies beat to that drum throughout the day. Every hour that the day goes by when the sun's up, something's happening in our body, in our systems, and most importantly, when the sun goes down, all of those systems that were working for us during the day, they go into this, like, you know, a recovery stage. Okay, so we can think of this, you know, unlike a car. So a car, we beat it down, and then we got to take it into the repair shop, and they've got to fix it. We're able to put a lot of stress on it until we do that. Our bodies are kind of constantly in this cycle every day, every year. And so they are like on auto repair every 24 hours, and that's that circadian rhythm. And our environments and our habits are disruptive to this circadian rhythm. And that's what I focused in on to fix my habits, analyze them first, you know, document where I'm getting out of track, and then see how I can come up with the solutions around it that support my natural circadian rhythm. So there's a pretty long list of things that help us with our circadian rhythm, but I'm going to share some of them here. These are things that when we don't do, they affect our circadian rhythm. So something as simple as lack of contact with the ground with your bare feet. Just take a moment and think, when was the last time you were outside without your shoes on? If I think about it, it was probably almost over a week ago. It's winter here right now, so I haven't been outside barefoot in a while. So lack of contact with the ground is, you know, affecting my circadian rhythm. What that means is that I'm probably inside. So that means I'm spending a lot of time under artificial light. Look at all the lights around me right now, particularly fluorescent and LED lights. So this is really affecting my circadian rhythm. My body is registering it as light, but it's artificial light. So it's doing something funky. It's not the natural sun up, sundown light that we would be more acclimated to. Not enough time in daylight is something. So, you know, again, it's winter here right now. I'm usually in my office that has, you know, not too many windows before the sun's fully out. And then the sun goes down now. Gosh, it feels like 2 p.m. here. But then I'm home and it's dark. So I'm really actually not out exposed to natural daylight at all if I'm not intentional about it. I think something all of us struggle with right now, particularly in the United States, is a poor diet. And something I always talk about is like really poor hydration. I mean, we're really not drinking enough water. And if we are drinking enough water, are we, you know, having the right amount of salt with our water intake so that we're holding on to it, so that we're truly getting hydration? So diet and hydration, and then lack of movement from throughout the day. So we're all, you know, busy, moving and grooving. Yes, we get up, we get in our car, we take our kids to school, we play on the playground, we go to work. But is that enough movement to truly like get all of our systems and organs flowing like they should? So this is a list of things that affect our ability to stay in tune with our circadian rhythm. So just a general lack of being outside and being under the right type of light, eating the right type of diet, supplementing with the right type of supplements, and getting the right amount of movement in our day. So I feel like we all kind of know these are common facts, but I think it's important to state here while we're having the conversation that good sleep is super important for things like our cognitive function, our physical and mental health, our productivity. A really big thing is in hormone regulation, memory consolidation. Something really important happens when we get good sleep is a lot of the information that we perceive all day has a chance to kind of tap into the cogs and kind of click into where it needs to go. If we're not getting good sleep, we might lose some of those information pieces that we're learning or trying to download. And mood, and then, you know, something I think we're all wanting to try to find a hack for is aging. Good sleep and good rest are really important for something that happens in your skin, and it goes into a reparative mode at night as well with good rest. So all this to say, you're never going to get it right every night. A kid's going to wet their bed in the middle of the night or come into the room and want to snuggle, or your phone's going to ring. Something's going to throw you off track. But the aim is optimization and setting up better habits than you currently have. So have grace with yourself. I know I have to as you're finding what that path is for you. To add on to the circadian rhythm, something really cool, you know, when we talk about that we go into sleep and what is happening throughout the night, something really cool is happening hour by hour when we go to night. And when you start looking into sleep studies and sleep science, something that they talk about, it's not necessarily the amount of hours of sleep that you get in the night, but it's what time you go to sleep, because a clock starts ticking at a certain point and certain key systems and key organs in our body are going through their repair process. So for example, if you're consistently going to bed late every night and you're missing that 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock window. In that 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock window, according to, you know, Chinese herbalism and all that, your metabolic system is going through a stability and balance process. So if you're missing this consecutive time when you go to bed, you might start seeing that you're having metabolism issues, which might start affecting your, you know, fitness goals or your weight loss goals. And so this is just like one example. Every hour, and then it breaks down into half hour, something very vital is happening in our bodies and our processes. And I'm going to pop up a chart here that you can reference. It's really cool, by Dr. Motley, and he like breaks it all down by hour and what's happening. I think when you start understanding your body's process and what it's doing at night, it's more like reward incentivizing to get to bed on time. And I know for me, that's been the case. If I miss going to bed, 9 o'clock is when I try to be in bed by. Of course, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes I have to, you know, put the extra time in with the kids or with a project. But I try to go to bed at 9 o'clock because I know there's some important things that start happening around that time. So good sleep truly is the foundation to give our bodies that chance to reset. As a busy mom, this is my routine, but I really want to know yours too as you're exploring this. So it took me a lot of trial and error. There's a ton of, you know, hacks or listicles out there of like how to get the best sleep. So this is mine. My routine for sleep, if I'm setting myself up for good sleep, it starts in the morning. So I usually wake up around 5 a.m. That's when I strive to wake up. Sometimes I do have a newborn right now, and so sometimes I stay in bed and soak up those cuddles and don't feel anything, any shame about it. So when I wake up at 5 a.m., depending at what time of the year it is, I usually go straight outside and try to get that early morning sunlight. Again, it's winter right now, so I'm and it's frozen, so I'm not going outside. So when I can't go outside, I have a red light panel that I'll turn on for like 5 to 15 minutes, nothing extreme. And what this is doing, going outside and getting that early morning sunlight, like when the sun is the lowest on the horizon and kind of shining directly into your eyes, this is helping your body sync with the circadian rhythm. So it's telling your body, like, this is morning time. So it's telling your body all the functions. It's time to do all the morning time stuff. When we don't get that early morning light, our body, of course, knows what to do, but it just can start getting a little bit off sync. And that's when we can start getting a little bit off balance. So when I can't get that early morning sun, I turn on my red light panel. Maybe that's when I sit there and drink my coffee or tea. I know lots of people out there are like, oh, coffee or tea. But yes, I am a mom of two and run several businesses, so I do drink coffee. So yeah, that early morning exposure to sun is how I start setting myself up for a good night's sleep further in the day. I think what's been really cool to see as I've, you know, built that into my habit is my son starts, he's doing it with me. So he comes outside when the weather's nice, we go outside and we pick weeds, and he has become obsessed with picking the weeds in the front garden, which is 10 out of 10 recommend for anyone with a garden, is just like get your kids to pick weeds with you. So that's just our little thing. It's this wonderful, peaceful time for us to just like start our day calmly outside in nature barefoot. That's something else I do, is I try to be barefoot as much as I can, you know, when it's safe to be barefoot. And the earth has a certain frequency that it is giving you when you stand barefoot on it. And so trying to tap into that and absorb earth frequencies and sun, you know, when I'm saying this, I'm smirking a little bit because it sounds a bit woo-woo, but the science really is there that these are things that help your body stay synced with the circadian rhythm, which is what helps us get good sleep. So now I've gone outside and I've done my woo-woo practices, and now I'm moving on to my non-negotiable for a morning, which is a high-protein breakfast. If I miss this, my whole day goes to shit. And I think all of this to say is, like, I'm setting, you know, all this sets me up for the day, but it really compounds throughout the day to whether I'm going to get good sleep or not. So lunches might get chaotic in my world. So that high protein breakfast is super important. And then I start kickstarting my hydration. I need to drink. I'm a breastfeeding mom right now, so I need to drink a lot of water. And so I've got to get an early jump on it, or else I'm going to be chugging water by the end of the day, which means I'm going to be up all night peeing, which means I'm not going to be sleeping good. So I try to pack my hydration in to the early morning. And then I start kind of tapering off my water consumption towards the night so that I'm not waking up every 2 hours to use the restroom. Okay, so now we're shifting into our, you know, second half of the day, nighttime routine. Now's when we're really starting to set ourselves up for good sleep. Obviously, trying to get a good high-protein dinner in as early as possible. We like to try to eat at our house around like 6, 6:30 so that we're giving ourselves some time to digest before we go to bed. You know, depending again on the weather, we try to also go for even just a short little walk, 5, 10 minutes, something after we eat, just to help kind of move that through. Then I'm going to start taking all my supplements. So my, you know, depending on where I'm at with my health, my nighttime supplement stack changes, but I have three non-negotiables, and that's my magnesium glycinate, my glycine, and then I take, you know, a combination of CBN, which is cannabinol, which is a plant compound found in cannabis, or THC, which is another plant compound found in cannabis. And I might take just one or the other or a combination of them, just kind of depending really on what kind of like stress season I'm in. Do I need a lot of support getting to sleep and staying to sleep, or do I just need, you know, a consistent support? But for sure, magnesium glycinate and glycine, this changed my life when I started taking these products at night consistently while staying hydrated and doing all these other things, right? It's not one of these things that helped me sleep. It's the combination of all of them that brought it, you know, together for me. And having all of them is allowed me to, you know, maybe I miss some of them, but if I kind of hit it and I get most of them, I can still have confidence that I'm setting myself up for a good night of sleep. So now we get to the part where I cover my head in tinfoil. Okay, no, but seriously, tinfoil is involved. We recently did a home remodel and, you know, I like my rabbit holes. So when we were doing the remodel, I went into like a rabbit hole of healthy homes and we did an EMF scan of our house. We have a very small house. Our bedroom backs up to our kitchen where all of our main appliances are. And believe it or not, refrigerators give off the most dirty EMFs in a home. And our refrigerator and our oven are right behind our bed. So our highest EMF reading in the home was right where we were resting our head at night. So someone that helped us figure this out in a more cost-effective way than literally creating a Faraday room is using tinfoil. So when we had all of the drywall off of our walls, we did some thick layers of tinfoil on the walls that had the electronics against it so that when we were going to bed at night, we were creating kind of a low EMF, you know, area for us to truly rest, because EMFs are something that can also throw off our circadian rhythm. So we did the tinfoil on the wall. My parents thought we were fucking crazy. Again, sounds woo-woo, but all of these together and I'm sleeping, y'all. So I'm not going to question it, and I'm definitely going to suggest it. So we did the tinfoil. We also put our Wi-Fi on a timer. So our Wi-Fi router turns off around like 10 p.m. and turns on at 6 a.m. And so this just like also shuts down a lot of EMF activity in our house. And it also shuts down Wi-Fi to our phones, which encourages us to not be on our phones. And we do our best to keep our phones out of the bedroom. There's a recent study that came out that is equating the amount of EMFs that come from a charging phone on your end table that you sleep to. It's something wild, like standing in front of a sonar or something and what it can do. It's like really disrupting the cells in your body and really fucking with your circadian rhythm. So we definitely got the phones off the chargers on the chargers out of our room. Again, some nights we don't do that, but it's what we're aiming for. And then to add to the tinfoil on the head situation is I sleep on a grounding sheet. So because I can't get outside enough, or I want to supplement with how much I can get outside, there's something called grounding sheets or grounding pillowcases. And essentially what these are it's fabric, and in the fabric is woven like very like tinsel-like metal, and then it's connected to a cord, and that cord plugs into just the grounding outlet in a outlet. So a three-prong outlet, it's plugging into just that bottom one. That bottom one is called ground because it is the same frequency as Earth's ground frequency. So it is the same energy that you would be absorbing if you were barefoot on the ground. So I just want to supercharge myself with that grounding frequency when I'm sleeping. Again, sounds a little bit woo-woo, but I used to have a cat, and when I had the cat would love to sleep on my grounding pillow, and I felt like that meant something. Like, this cat is picking up on something here that it wants to sleep on the pillowcase. Then I need it cold, cold, cold. I'm talking like 67, 68. I like to be bundled up. For me, that's important. And then the next thing is probably like just an unpopular opinion, but I prefer to sleep alone. I don't really enjoy sharing my bed. I am sharing my bed with my kids right now because we've been in the midst of a remodel. And of course, my husband and I have shared the bed for 10 years, but as we're kind of like really getting into this like biohacking and sleep hacking and all of these things, I sleep better alone. It gives my body a chance to have its own energy field and recharge without someone else's energy field or them tossing and turning or them not liking it as cold. When I kind of started tapping into this, I would wake up and have this feeling of like being very claustrophobic, and I would just get up and go to the couch and sleep. And then I would sleep so great out on the couch. And so then through the remodel, we kind of were all shoveled around. And now I'm like, oh, if we ever build another house, I think I just like, I want my own bedroom. I want my own type of sheets and all of that. So unpopular opinion, but you might benefit from sleeping alone if you're struggling with sleep, so that you can really like focus on yourself. So circling back to cannabis and why I use it, cannabis would be the one component that I would take in or out. It's not, you know, I had mentioned that it's part of my non-negotiable stack. It's really the magnesium glycinate and the glycine. Those are my two, like, take every night no matter where I am. Cannabis, the CBN or the THC, that's one that I'll play with. And that's, you know, what type of day I had. It's helping me ease out of the day and into that like nighttime routine or cycle. And I really like going back and forth between the CBN and the THC. And it's just one of those kind of like fun things about all of this to play with. So when I reflect back at everything we've been doing at Canvas for the past 4 years, the thing that always keeps me going and makes me the most proud is the customer testimonies. And in one of our product lines, Drifters, we made this particularly to help people with sleep, because sleep is what we hear from people the most that we're helping them with. They write into us, they call us. I just got the best night of sleep I've had in 50 years or 30 years, whatever it is. And this is profound. If we can help people sleep, we can help them show up the next day to be the best versions of themselves. And so cannabis is great to help you get asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling refreshed. And when you wake up and feel refreshed, sometimes consuming a little bit of cannabis to kick your day off is also something that people choose to do. And so in our next episode, we're going to talk about cannabis in the workplace.